As I said, this Mass is the conclusion of our retreat, but not the end of our pilgrimage. It's been a most blessed journey so far. In fact, I go back to the celebration we had on Tuesday of my silver anniversary, which was a very joyful and wonderful celebration. Then we started the pilgrimage on Friday. We went straight to Alaminos and had a wonderful Mass there in the cathedral where I was ordained. We honored St. Joseph the Worker. We honored the Sacred Heart of Jesus. The next day we were in Manawag to honor Our Lady of the Rosary in Manawag, and also to give thanks. And from Manawag we came here, up the mountaintop, to a place where it's cold, not hot. So a blessed change. And we have spent the retreat reflecting on our theme, a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. It's a theme that doesn't end simply because the retreat ends. It's a seed planted. It's a word that we want the Holy Spirit to remind us of, as we heard in today's Gospel. The work of the Holy Spirit is to teach us all things and to remind us of all things, because we tend to forget all things. But the richness of the theme we have not exhausted, right? We were a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. It starts with Jesus himself. He's the chosen one. He's the royal priest. He's the holy one. He's the cornerstone, the living stone, and we are built on him into a spiritual temple so that we can offer acceptable sacrifice to the Lord. So that when we offer our bodies as a living sacrifice, it's acceptable, it's holy. And we made a study yesterday of how that offering is expressed in the Mass. So I hope you can remember some of those things, that what we're doing at Mass is we're exercising the priesthood that we have been authorized to exercise by baptism. You're not just here to listen to the priest or watch the priest. You are the priestly people joining yourselves, your living bodies, to the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. In fact, we all are. We hear Jesus say through the priest, "This is my body, this is my blood." But we all say, each one of us says, "This is my body, this is my blood. I'm offering myself to the Lord. And I'm grateful to be able to do it." So that's some of the things we reflected on yesterday. In the scriptures today, we continue to listen to Jesus and his instruction to the apostles at the Last Supper. This time it's Judas, not the Iscariot, who speaks up and asks this interesting question: why or what has happened that you will reveal yourself to us and not to the world? This is a question that comes up all the time. In fact, after the resurrection, when Jesus risen appeared to certain people, but not to everyone, people said, well, why is he revealing himself to some and not to everyone? If he wants everyone to know that he's risen, that he's conquered sin and death, why doesn't he show himself to everybody? And the reason he does this is because he wants, he does reveal himself to everybody, but he does it through his body, the church. He continues his priestly ministry through his body, the church, that is through us. He is revealing himself. In fact, he's revealing the Father by giving his Holy Spirit to us so that we can continue his mission in the world. That's why this is a beautiful passage to reflect on as we come to the conclusion of the retreat. At the end of a retreat, people sometimes have this kind of letdown. Oh, now it's over, now we have to go back to normal life. No. Yeah, there is a certain emotional change, and we do have to go back to the hot weather. But the point is, we have something to carry with us, and we have someone carrying us as we enter into the world to continue the mission. We should be excited to continue the mission, even if the mission involves ordinary, daily, mundane activities. Work, shopping, cooking, cleaning, taking care of family, and travel, and paying high prices, and all these things that we have to face. That's part of our mission. That's part of our sacrifice. Even on the pilgrimage, it has not been without sacrifice, as you know. Those of you who are on bus number one with the broken air conditioner, you know that it wasn't all an enjoyable and comfortable trip. And some of the accommodations I heard in Alaminos were not very comfortable either. On bus number one of our sisters had a terrible fall and bumped her head. That was one of the surprises. She has a boo hole. I think she still has it. Meronpa. So, because he's living stone. They're living stones. We're all living stones. Anyway, so, and some people got sick, some people had different difficulties. Part of the pilgrimage is the sacrifices to make every day. So it's not as if this has been all great and when we go down it's all bad. No, we have plenty to offer as a holy priesthood every day. Whether it's a great day and great weather or a terrible day and terrible weather, we have a lot to offer because we offer ourselves. Jesus says that whoever loves him, I'll quote him, whoever loves me will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our dwelling with him. To be a dwelling place of God is connected to what we pondered yesterday, being a spiritual temple, a holy priesthood. It's to be built on this holy cornerstone. We're not sent into the world just to do things on our own. We're standing on the cornerstone. We're built on the cornerstone. We're united with the divine mercy. And so what we share with the world is not what we come up with on our own, but what we receive. That's why Jesus sends us, or the Father sends us in Jesus' name, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit. Now, as we get into the later part of the Easter season, we'll hear a lot more about the Holy Spirit. Let's take a look at what two of our brothers, who are also living stones, experience in their apostolic journeys through, well, what's now Turkey. And it's a interesting reading because, this first reading, because it goes from one extreme to the other. In Iconium, the people want to kill these two apostles, Paul and Barnabas. They think Paul and Barnabas are so evil, so bad, such terrible blasphemers, that they must be stoned to death. Not far from Iconium is this town Lystra, and in this town, they want to worship them. So from being so bad that they should be killed, to being so great that they're gods and they should be receiving sacrifice and worship. Very strange. The people of Lystra, though, even though they're deceived, they're not completely wrong. Because they recognize the presence of God at work in Paul and Barnabas. They just make the mistake of thinking that Paul and Barnabas are God or are gods. It's part of the limitation of their understanding of the gods. You know the Greek gods. They're very human. They even look human. And the statues look human. Their gods are basically superhuman. They're eternal, but they have all the same problems that we have, and they just have to live with them forever. And they get into their squabbles, and they have territorial disputes, and they have illicit affairs, and all these things. So their gods are not very high. So to say Paul and Barnabas are gods, yeah, it's a compliment, but not that big a compliment, because those gods are not very great. In fact, their gods are stone, idols. Paul and Barnabas are living stones, not dead stones. You see, the beauty of being a living stone is to be a combination of the living, the life, and the breath of God that comes from God, and the stone is our nature, right? The dust of the earth, the soil, our flesh. It's this combination of being both filled with the Holy Spirit and being human like every other human being, living stones. The people of Iconium thought these stones should be smashed. We're going to throw stones at them because we don't want them around. The people in Lystra thought, well, these are gods. No. Look at that. Collapse of the living stones. Okay, so this is why we have to understand who we are as a priestly people. We're not just stones, but we're not gods either. And most of our experience in our journey will be more negative than positive. And people will be more likely to persecute or judge or ridicule or reject us than to hold us up as gods. Although it sometimes happens that people have unreasonably high standards that they expect us to meet. The expectations of people who say, well, if you're a Christian, then you should be like this. Or if you're in Anuim, you should be like this. Well, that's like raising up Paul and Barnabas as Zeus and Hermes. No, we have to be who God calls us to be. Yes, we are a chosen race. We should not deny it. We proclaim it. Yes, we are a royal priesthood. God has decided that. Yes, we're a holy nation, not because we make ourselves holy, but because God has made us holy in baptism. And we want everyone to be included in this community of being chosen, being royal priests, and being holy. This is our mission, to share what we have received. Sometimes we have to put up with persecution, even flee from persecution, as Paul and Barnabas did. Sometimes we have to correct people who think that we're greater than we are. That doesn't happen that often, but it does happen. So we have to say, no, we're just like you. What the line of Paul and Barnabas is very good. Why are you doing this? We are of the same nature as you, human beings. We're human beings. The great thing about being human beings is that God has joined himself to us. That being a human being is not as ordinary, it's not as ordinary as it used to be. Now we are the body of Christ. So it's great to be a human being because God, not the gods, have come down to us in human form, but the one true living almighty God has taken on humanity and united himself with us. We have good news to proclaim, and we're not at the center of it. The cornerstone is at the center, but we are part of his mission. We are members of his body. So we have a great gift that we have received, a great gift to share, because we are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation.